As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk about nerd talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier slash sexier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor Hyther. And back again, like a drunk Russian guy riding a brown bear, he's your friend from Florida, Siege.
I am definitely trying to make a wonderful performance tonight, so I'm currently injecting myself with all sorts of steroids.
Bear fighting steroids on an all-new Nerd Talk Plus.
Roar!
Now, neither of us is a scientist, bear fighter, engineer, or supervillain yet, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong, but more importantly for our self-esteem, what we get right. Therapy is one thing, but actually hearing from somebody that you have value is very positive as well, so thanks for that in advance. I do like the idea of the tattoo idea thing, but for this episode's question of the week, I'm curious, just think about this for a while, would you rather fight one bear where you get to be on cocaine, or would you rather have to ride a bear but you get to be drunk? Just consider that for a minute, and we'll get back to that, and I'll totally forget the question, and it'll be fine. Let's start things off with lasers. I think Great Britain might be, again, trying to take over the world. First, they split from Europe. Now, they just test-fired their own high-powered, long-range, laser-directed energy weapon. That sounds freaking awesome, first of all. They have a history of colonizing and ruling with an iron fist. I'm just saying, if they announce a space program, I'll be fully convinced that England is building their own Death Star. Now, my question is, which country will genetically engineer the Wookiees? Do you think that in our lifetime, Siege, that we're gonna have like laser wars between people where it's like pew pew pew
pew pew pew?
I mean, I'm surprised that we honestly haven't yet, considering all of the 1980s movies. And I'm going to pull a Brandon here for a second and ask you if you've ever seen a movie.
Yeah, great. If it's an 80s movie, the chances are positive.
Have you ever seen Real Genius with Val Kilmer?
I have!
Yes! That's what I'm talking about.
They laser that ball of popcorn.
Yes, exactly. That's the one that I'm... it's what I thought of as soon as I heard this.
Yeah, man. I feel like that's the type of laser weapons we're talking about, Death Stars and stuff like that. If you could, you know, it's not going to be an actual space station, but if you could set up a laser to cook someone's embassy or whatever from space, then like, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, like even back to that movie, like what their whole thing was, they were shooting a laser from space that could zero in on a single person or, you know, and just vaporize them from outer space. So, I mean, that's the kind of laser war that I see.
Yeah, I don't necessarily see, like, there's definitely going to be Terminators, but I don't think they're going to run around with laser guns. Like, I don't think it's going to be, like, directed energy weapons.
Probably not.
But maybe, though. I mean, it just depends on, like, I think the next jump in technology. Like, right now, we don't have even for all the electric cars and stuff that we want, we just don't have a way of making energy as accessible as we need it to be. Like, we talked about last time, like, if you have an electric car and you don't own a home, it doesn't work. It takes so long to charge that it's like impractical. So once they make that leap where you can like recharge your laser weapon after every shot, then like, yeah, we get there.
And I mean, what exactly are laser, how would it be a laser weapon? For the most part, everything that we use lasers for is like measuring. I mean, we have lasers to build stuff and level stuff in the house. We use lasers for measuring the distance on things. I mean, I thought the weapons were going to be like photon guns.
Yeah. Well, don't let DARPA fool you. They're probably working on a way to stop their own, you know, sentient robots that they're also building. Like, you got to have that backdoor plan. Like, real genius, you need a Val Kilmer, young shirtless Val Kilmer,
yes,
to be working on how to stop the government from using the thing you're developing as a weapon.
Yeah, and the only way to do it is to find that guy who lives in the wall.
Oh, yeah. You got to find Uncle Rico.
Yes.
He goes on to play Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite. That's, oh, boy. Right. I saw a quote the other day that said that Gen Z kids haven't seen Napoleon Dynamite. And I was like, oh, I think it was James Woolard from Seattle Sounders announcer who said that. Like, he brought up
goodness,
Napoleon Dynamite, and kids didn't know what that was. And I was like, oh, that's like a movie from when I was like an adult. That's not even real genius. Like, we're talking about like ancient Roman times with real genius, let alone Napoleon Dynamite.
What's crazy to me is that there are kids, I'm calling them kids, that were born in the 2000s right now who are able to drink, who have literally no idea about any of the movies that we grew up with.
There are kids going to the World Cup in a few days' time, and they will have been born with a zero, like in the 2000s, in the aughts. If
yes,
you will.
Yes. That, oh, man. Mind. It's mind-numbing.
Anyway, I think that Val Kilmer tattoo, a young shirtless Val Kilmer tattoo with the shades and everything would be perfect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, I need that. And Uncle Rico in the closet with his head just popping out of the closet.
Hey, Siege, what do you want to bet I can throw a football over them mountains?
I don't think you can.
I don't think there's any mountains in Florida to throw them over. Unless you're me and you think that the Everglades are mountains.
That the Everglades are the mountains. Yes.
Now, Siege, do you have a green thumb?
I try to. I mean, it really depends on what exactly we're growing here, but not particularly.
Okay, well, forget dropping $200 on an air filter for your house, maybe. I don't know if you'll be able to do it or not. Instead, spend the money on a house plant. That sounds like a terrible idea if you can't grow things. This one's special. A team of Parisian scientists have bioengineered a pothos plant. I have a pothos. I love it. And it's able to filter the air better than 30 mechanical air filtering machines.
Amazing.
Specifically, though, this is not one that takes like the CO2 out of the air. It doesn't like make it so if you run your car in your garage for a few hours, it doesn't take the methane out or whatever. This specifically targets chemicals that are starting to become like forever chemicals, like pervasive throughout our lives, like formaldehyde that get into our air, that are difficult for machines to remove, like your expensive $200 air whatever machine that you get because you're pretending like it's going to stop COVID or whatever, is, which I realize, just for context, Siege, I know that didn't happen in Florida, but COVID was this virus and people got sick and then complained about it.
It was a show that we watched on TV.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You're like, wow, they sure think they're all Scorpion from Street Fighter in this show with their masks.
What season?
Anyway, so formaldehyde is like one of them. And this machine, the machines can't do it, but the plants have been genetically engineered. They've mad scienced the plant. And specifically its roots. Sorry, my dog just shook off. Specifically, its roots to handle filtering stuff out of the air and then breaking it down in the soil. So you teach the plant to grab onto the thing you need, but then what do you do with it? Well, the magic happens down at like when there's like bio stuff in the soil that helps make it happen and it breaks it down and diminishes it.
Miracle
it's really
grow.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, probably. It feels like the best possible business model, though, based on what we started with, because like you spend $200 on one of these plants, and I would definitely do because I love house plants and I keep about 70% of them alive or whatever. But you spend $200 and kill it in 6 weeks, gotta order another. It's diabolical.
Yeah, I have about 6 plants in my room that Florida actually comes out with a little guide for local plants that you can get that will actually clean your air. That you can.
Did you get it from Cabe Ferrari?
Yes, I got it from Captain Cabe Ferrari.
He's an ecologist and alligator expert.
Yes, and they'll teach you in Florida here. They'll actually teach you what to plant in your gardens outside to help with local and non-invasive species to help keep the air clean around your house, and stuff that you can bring inside to help clear the air inside, which, I mean, it's definitely helpful. I've got about six right here in my room right now, so.
So you got a better thumb, better green thumb than you admit to. I feel like you're maybe overplaying it a little.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, one of my favorite things is actually I have a small fish tank that uses the fish waste and all the bacteria and everything to grow stuff on top of it. And now that stuff, I don't have a license to grow, but it is there.
Yeah. It's so, like, they'll teach you about plants in Florida just as long as there's no evolution that's being taught with it, right?
Yes. You're okay? There's no evolution. Everything happened from Jesus directly to the garden.
So for me, this, I find this really exciting because, like, people hate GMOs because, like, they, understandably, we didn't have access to that type of food, and you're creating these things that can't possibly, like, that our bodies aren't paired to be able to break down is the thinking behind it. And I get it. I get why people would be upset about that. But also, like, you see what a tomato looked like from 300 years ago, and it's garbage, or, like, a watermelon. Like, that stuff sucks. So, like, if we're going to genetically modify things, I'm all about doing it to things that could help offset the damage that the humans are doing. So we can scrub some formaldehyde out of the air. Let's go.
Absolutely. I'm 100% behind that. I want to know how big it is, because that's for $200. I would like that to, like, take up a nice table setting.
Potentially. Yeah. I want to know what else we could take out of the air then. Like, could you, like, clear out, like, bong smoke and stuff? Could you have a plant that, like, processes your vape and you're, like, take it around in the car so the vape dragon can actually have a decent smelling vehicle?
I will take three of those.
I don't know. You know what I hate is, like, when you cook meat at your house and then you come back, like, a few hours later and your house smells like meat still, only, like, not fresh meat. It smells like 3 hours ago meat. Let's make a carnivorous version of this plant that, like, sucks that up.
We need one of these for, like, every communal office kitchen space for the person who microwaves the fish. We need a fish sucker smelly plant.
And, I mean, while we're at it, let's get one for the restroom, right?
Oh, might as well.
Hey, what are these three shells and what's that plant? This is weird.
The three shells. He doesn't know how to use the three shells.
If you understand that, then you know that I know at least one other movie.
Look at that. That's two movies in one episode. Brandon would be so mad he's not here.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Now, I feel like this one might connect with you. You ever get the impression that you're the reason why a rule has been made?
100%.
As a chaotic neutral figure, I feel like the chaos, that the wake that you leave behind, people often have to be like, never again.
Yes.
Fair?
100%.
So I'm at my karate test the other day, right? I'm testing for my first degree brown belt. And like the guy's like watching me and then he stops everybody. He's like, all right, everybody, listen. When you're doing tiger claws, okay, as I act out now on screen for you, when you're doing tiger claws, what are you actually even doing? Are you just going like, meow, 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 meow? Or are you actually doing something with it? And I was like, dude, you can't go from watching me to then making meow, meow, meow noises because I am struggling here and you're teasing me without mentioning me. So it's even worse, you turd. But he's also the one running the test and I can't be mad at him. But I definitely wanted to fight him at that point. And so, yeah, like, it's like that type of thing where you do something dumb and then they come along and be like, no more being dumb. Well, from Orlando's very own WMFE, the National Park Service had to put out a warning asking people to stop licking the freaking toads.
Yes.
Specifically, the Sonoran toad of the desert Southwest. It's this isn't like a new thing I've heard of, toad licking. I think that there was even like a South Park episode or something about that. But it secretes a toxin that people think will make them experience an altered state of transcendence, a.k.a. get high as crap on a hallucinogenic. Likely, it'll just alter the state of your pants when it makes you crap your pants. So
outstanding. There's that. Yeah, I know there are definitely some frogs around here or toads around here that you should not lick, but people will lick them anyway. They're dangerous for animals, which is what concerns me. It's like the bufo toad. It just looks like this giant fat toad that's just going to stare at you. And anytime it rains, they just start showing up in your garden. And yeah. God forbid you let your animals outside and they just start chasing them. They can cause them to seize and die shortly. I mean, I can only imagine that's what would happen to some humans, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone's just going to immediately revert to that and be like, well, I'm going to lick that and see what happens. And then like, whoa, that was crazy.
What happened to you? Oh, I got some bad toad.
But like, imagine that, like, imagine like even 100 years ago before, you know, the internet or whatever, like, imagine that, like, you were just like, it's just like nighttime and okay, so now what? We got to kill a few more hours. It's like fall. We can't go to sleep for a few hours. When we wake up, we don't even have to farm. What are we going to do? Like, there's a toad. You want to lick its butt? Like, yes, that's yes, what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
It's cloaca. Excuse me. Let's see what happens. And like, what happened to Todd? Ooh, sorry. Todd's gone. He licked that toad. And be like, is that some sort of...
He had a tongue in a toad butt. I mean, isn't that how, like, we found out all the medical advances that we had back in medieval times? I mean,
it blows my mind. Yeah, that, like, it's just like, what happens if we grind up this leaf and then take it, and then it's like, well, they didn't die, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And like, then how many times do you have to try it on someone before you can be like, I'm pretty sure that this is aspirin? Like,
yeah. This we found out this one makes you high as a kite, and this one actually tastes good on a steak.
This one makes your wiener feel weird. It's very interesting. So.
Yeah, let's do that one again. 2 out of 3.
Yeah, it's just, it really, it boggles my mind how before we had, it boggles my mind how before we had the science to like figure it out, how people figured stuff out. But also, I'm kicking around this idea right now, Siege. I want to take a trip. I want to go to Machu Picchu. Ooh. I want to see one of the 7 wonders of the world, okay? And like, I'm going through like a tough time in my life, and so I want to like do this stupid midlife crisis crap and like try and go inspire myself to appreciate what life really means, right? And so it's like the Great Pyramids of Giza. That's like one thing you could go do, the Valley of the Dead and stuff like that, and see this like unimaginable accomplishment built with slavery to be able to like understand what humans are capable of doing if they use slavery. And so, but the other thing that I always see in pictures and stuff is in Peru, it's Machu Picchu. It's the Incan, I think it's Incan, like temple remains that are built way up at like 8,000 feet atop a mountain or something like that. And it's like, just the accomplishment of getting there alone would be pretty cool. Like, I feel like you just fly into Cairo and rent a camel and then you're like at the pyramids or whatever and someone's robbing you or something. Like, I feel like it's that's not very complicated, but you have to like either hike or take a train or like something into the mountains and deep into the, like,
I think the only way to get actually deep in there is to hike it. I had a friend who just recently moved to Peru.
What?
Yeah. Well, down here, we're all a bunch of surfers, and we used to travel around the Caribbean for surfing, like Costa Rica, Peru, wherever. And he just ended up, you know, just moving to Peru. And I think the only way to get up there is to actually hike. And he was telling me that the landing strip for the plane to get into the area is just like such a short little landing, so it's like if you miss it, you're hitting a mountain. But the way,
yes,
and then you got
problem solved.
Yeah, and then you got to climb like another 8,000 feet, and it's all tiny little paths. And the way I think about it with Egypt, though, is like, can't you just, aren't you just like in the city and you can kind of like look out there and see them?
Yeah, that's what I mean, is like you just like show up at Cairo International and be like, hey, which way to the pyramids? And they're like, just like look over there, dude. Like, well, there they are. I don't know that that's true or not, but like I know that Cairo is established right near them. And so getting there is like a lot less of an accomplishment. I bet you the language barrier is more difficult. I don't know. That's actually just bias. I think I'm just saying that. I bet you there's a ton of English speakers there.
As far as I know, I think Cairo's a pretty well-established city that, you know, would have like a massive amount of English speaker, but I'm just talking.
Yeah, it's super international.
I mean,
It's like
with Peru, it's definitely, I mean, it's up there. You got to make a trek to get up there. So it's like, yeah, it'd probably behoove of you to do a little more on the Duolingo.
I'm almost done with my first quarter of Spanish, and I'm getting an A, so that's pretty weird because I'm a terrible student. So smart guy, bad student, but not this time around. Shout outs to Senorita Fernandez.
Hot.
Sub dummy. That's funny. That's funny. All right. So I didn't know this, but I guess people sort of hate Paul Allen, at least people on the internet. Mm-hmm. And like, I have like a really positive association with him, other than the fact that he's a billionaire. And I recently read a thing that's like, really any billionaire has gotten there from being crappy or continues to be crappy or whatever. And I was like, well, Mackenzie Scott seems pretty dope. And she donated so much money, and then it all ended up getting turned around and used for she made so much money during the pandemic off of her Amazon stock that everything she donated was offset, so she still came out rich or whatever. But
yeah,
Paul Allen, he died, that guy did. And his private art collection sold for almost as much as one winning Powerball ticket, like $1.5 billion worth of sales.
Absolutely crazy. Insane to me.
And it becomes like this big conversation about how rich people just buy like priceless art in order to like to have a place to stash their money, so that way it's not. I don't understand. I have no money, so like I don't understand this concept at all.
Yeah, sorry, that totally escapes me too. Is that just like not taxable because it's fine art, or you know? I mean, but like when you dead, like maybe donate it to a museum or something like that.
Right. And so that's kind of where it comes from. Like, people are like, yeah, guy buys a bunch of cool old planes, puts them in a warehouse, and then like charges you to come see them to pay for the warehouse. Mm. And I'm like, that's not the worst thing somebody's done. It's not like he charged $1 million, but also, like, I get it that he's got so much money that he could have just made it free for people to come see or whatever without it. But that's typically not how people get $1 billion. Anyway, like, the internet hates him. It's crazy to read on the old Reddit. I mean, Reddit hates everybody, to be fair. But the deceased Seattle technology icon was known for his philanthropy and his love of sports and of music, and apparently had a wild art collection.
I mean, we got to give him some credit for the sports things, with helping with the Sounders and the Seahawks and I don't want to say the Portland Trailblazers because, you know, Sonics, but it's one of those things that's like, it, without being overly, you know, malicious, but you don't become a super billionaire without either cracking some skulls or finding some ways along the way to, like, be kind of a sneak or exploit some sort of situation, because, like, you're not just going to fall into $1 billion.
Yeah, or, you know, $100 billion or whatever.
Or, like, yeah.
I don't know what his net worth was before he died, and how they're, like, just tearing it apart and moving it all out or whatever. But, yeah, but, like, Mopop, they don't need to charge for Mopop. The guy had enough money that everyone forever could have gone free forever.
Yeah, and that, the Mopop is literally something I go to every single time I'm in town. And,
yeah,
I mean, if I'm going up there every year and spending, what, $70 just to go in there for a day anymore? It's
yeah, something crazy.
It's crazy. God forbid there's, like, some amazing exhibit going in that I want to see.
But then on top of that, homeboy, like, invested, like, a ton of money into neuroscience, and who knows to what end, like, who knows if he's, like, trying to figure out how to hook up the machines and their laser weapons to the human brains, so that way we can have some sort of human cyborg organism, you know, or whatever. Like, but, like, and I just don't know what that research is all about, but there's buildings in South Lake Union and stuff for his company that's dedicated to it. But also, he could have built, like, the Central Park of Seattle, someone pointed out, but instead turned it into, you know, real estate development in order to make more money off of it. So I always think of Cinerama in downtown Seattle. He took this old movie theater. He gave it, like, not only a fresh coat of paint, but also the best, projection unit in the entirety of the country or something
galaxy.
Like that. Yeah, exactly. It was using the technology from England and their high-powered laser weapon. He was able to convert it into that. But yeah, like, I think of that stuff and the chocolate-flavored popcorn and stuff like that. And so, also, one time I was at a party at Sky Church at whatever, with EMP back then, and I got to go to, like, a little VIP area, and it was a Nirvana thing, and I saw him crush, like, an hors d'oeuvres buffet. And, like, just, like, he's just, like, my friend was like, that's Paul Allen, and I was like, what? And I just looked over, and he's just, like, some, like, grandpa-looking dude, just, like, eating shrimp. From, like, whatever,
just like, a downing cocktail dude. Shrimp.
Yeah, and I was like, "Wow, that guy has more money literally than everybody in this room combined." And, like, Chris Novoselic from Nirvana's there or whatever, and you're like, and, like, that's just a laughable, like, ha ha ha. Like, he could literally change my life and make me a millionaire without even knowing that he did it. He had so much money, but
that's like,
but yeah, just like,
oh, go ahead, go ahead.
Just a normal dude. That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah, it's crazy when it comes back to, like, the stuff with when it comes to having that much money and what you can do with it. And you think, what did they say? Going back to that conversation we had last week about Twitter and Elon Musk buying it, they were saying it would take $6 billion to cure world hunger, and he spent 44 on Twitter just to probably crash it into the ground. And what was his art collection
success.
Right there? Could have made a pretty damn good dent in that.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about the unhoused and the underserved just in Seattle alone. And
yeah,
like, that could have made a huge, huge, huge deal.
Yeah, imagine in the last 10 years or whatever, if he would have just, like, turned it, instead of, like, property development, if he would have just solved the West Coast homelessness issues.
Yeah.
Or, like, just done something like that. But instead, Christie's gets in and makes a gazillion dollars off of all the stuff in his estate that he's selling.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
It's kind of depressing, but I mean, he did a lot of good, but at the same time, he could have done more. You get to a certain
Salvador Dali's Le Spectre de Vermeer. So I got that so wrong. Painted in around 1934, sold for almost $5 million with fees.
Wow.
Like, that could have gone to Seattle Art Museum or any of the contemporary art museums around the country or
yeah,
whatever.
Or God forbid, the Salvador Dali Museum right here in St. Petersburg, Florida.
No.
No.
Nothing good for you, Florida. Yeah,
we don't deserve it.
Unless it's gator themed. Speaking of which, I went to a movie. Ooh. I took my child to see Lyle Lyle Crocodile.
Nice.
And it was like, I know crocodiles and gators are very different animals, but they even make a reference to the Florida Gators at some point. They dress him up like they're all Florida Gators fans. So they dress Lyle up so he can. I'm so sorry for the spoiler alert, everybody. That's not very nice of me. He needs to get out of the house. So they don their Florida Gators gear. And I'm like, that's not the same animal. And how dare I was on board with thinking this was cute until then. Then my kid was like, can we leave? And I was like, yes, you can leave because I am
what
very
a smart
angry.
Kid.
Yeah, he's a real sharp one, that kid. So anyway, I'm just kind of like just looking through his art collection or whatever. 4,000 objects of unfine art.
Unfine.
Valued at some $20 million. $20 million of unfine art alone.
This is the crap. This is $20 million worth of, this is just the crap.
See this original Darth Vader suit? It's unfine art. Get yes. it out of here.
Man, the last time I was at MoPop, they had the Star Wars and Star Trek displays up at the same time.
Yeah.
And like you
good.
Had people arguing.
At noon every day, there's a civil war between Star Trek and Star Wars. And may the best nerd win.
Aww.
It's Star Wars that wins, by the way, because the Star Trek nerds are not. It's more of a soap opera than it is a...
They've only got phasers.
LARP fest.
Pew, 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 pew. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Siege, I got to ask you about something here this week. This happened near you, and I wanted to talk about how people were diving off of the coast of Florida doing whatever they... I can't remember what it was that they were doing, and they came across what they think is some remnants from the Challenger explosion. It happened back the day before my birthday in 1986. I'll never forget being a kindergartner who had to... Then they turned off the TV, and we got to the how to brush your teeth lesson of the day.
Oh, man.
The teacher went up with it came back down the not good way. But so they're making a documentary or something. There's a film crew off the coast and they come across what?
Yeah, it's actually, this is crazy because, I mean, you and I have a lot of shared history and stuff like that. Like, I remember being a kindergartner and, of course, here in Florida, I've sent you videos all the times of rockets going up. This was such a huge thing because it was a teacher going up in the space shuttle. We were all outside in the courtyard of our elementary school watching.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were all hurried back inside. And
let's go, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it vividly and I'll never forget it. And there's always been talk about Challenger. We got Challenger and Columbia license plates all over down here from both of the shuttle disasters. And this just happened to be a crew who was there. I think they were filming something for the History Channel. They're trying to do something about the Bermuda Triangle. And they were searching for sunken ships, which had gone missing. And when they were doing scuba diving, they were down at the bottom. I saw the video on Twitter, and it's absolutely crazy. I'm going to have to send it to you so you can post it.
Please.
And the guys were tapping on it and they're looking at it, and immediately anybody who was like a space nerd about the space shuttle,
stop,
that is the space shuttle, and you're looking at it and they're grabbing at the tiles and they're trying to twist the tiles, and you're hearing them talking back and forth, oh, these are tiles, they're loose on top of the other one, they're trying to tap it, and they all of a sudden it gets eerily silent as they're both kind of looking and they're like, this goes way under the sand that way. They're like, do you think this is what I think it is? And they're like, I think we need to contact NASA. And it cuts out. And it was just like, it was such a goosebump inducing situation that I just went flashing back all the way to like 1986 and just that cold morning and just like wow, is crazy, crazy to think that a giant piece, and the piece was so big when you watch the video. There's two divers in full suits with full masks and everything, and like, it's way bigger than both of them. Just way
well,
bigger.
That's one of the takeaways from going to Kennedy and seeing the Endeavor.
I think it's
there?
The Atlantis that's in there.
Atlantis, yeah, sorry, Atlantis, that's there, and seeing you come out of this theater, and boom, there it is, and like then you walk along it, and then you get down below it, and you're like, that is a big bird, man. Like,
yeah.
Even though it can only take seven people in like pretty small confines up to space, it's like the rest of it for the payload and everything is massive, and also the gigantic engines and stuff, and so, yeah, even if you find like a small chunk, it can still be huge or whatever. I wonder what they'll do with it. Will they bring it up and like study it, or I'm sure they will, right?
Probably. I think they said up until, because they've got all of the known remains of Challenger in basically what was a missile silo that's underground. It's basically buried on site at Kennedy. And I think they had something like 75% of it or 80% of the remains of it. And to see a piece this big, basically looking almost untouched in the sand there. I mean, I know with Columbia, because that went across three states as it was coming back in, across Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, whatever. And they only had like 30% of that, which is just blows my mind. But just seeing a piece this size was incredible to me.
Well, yeah, and the difference being one going up and not getting away and then coming back down, and the other one being trying to slow down from 17 grand down to you know, cruising speed. There's a lot more friction going on, and there's a lot more chance for it to, you know, to be distributed over a much larger area. So it's crazy that after all this time, it didn't happen. Now, at the time of the show, 10 a.m. on a Tuesday, let's move on to the future of NASA. I guess the window for sending the Artemis rocket into space is opening later today. It's a full disclosure, we're recording this the evening before, so this is Monday night at 5 o'clock Seattle time. And so we don't know what the weather looks like or what's going to happen, but you and I both went to go watch Artemis take off three times, and none of the times did it go up, and that was pretty crappy or whatever. But you spent a lot of time hoping for this new project to go. They're going to take the Orion capsule up to the moon and back without humans on board, should it successfully take off. It's using space shuttle technology, the rockets from it, and the fuel, which is problematic because it's a lot. Like, instead of using kerosene, they use
hydrogen. Is it hydrogen?
Hydrogen, yes. Yeah, because it's like the molecules are so small that you have to keep it so cold to keep them from moving around and escaping. And like the bleed is like really bad, and that's what kept them from launching these last few times, which sucks because you like want this thing to go up, but also it's politics at play and stuff. But in theory, tonight you should be able to potentially see a rocket streaking away from the Florida coast towards space.
As of the I guess it was the 7 p.m. news here, so 7 p.m. news here, which would have been 4 o'clock Pacific time. They said that it's a 90% probability that it will go. There was a lot of questions because of Hurricane Nicole busting through here. And they said that out on the launch pad, it's only supposed to take up to, I guess, 70 knot winds. And there were periods that it was like 85. So they had to go over it with a fine tooth comb because it's built to take the force and the winds going up, going vertically, not necessarily horizontally and everything. So, man, this has just been one thing after another. But the window does open at 10:04 p.m. Pacific time, which is 1 a.m. here. And I'm actually trying to make a quick run up. I'm trying to make a smash and grab run up there to see if I can't catch it. It's only a 2-hour window, and by the time that it would close, it would be 3:04 a.m. here. And that would give me enough time to run back down here and do whatever I need to do for the rest of the day.
AKA work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you don't, give us, like, the, like, you know, you talked about being a kid and having space shuttles go off and stuff. If you don't go up there, what's the view like from, like, if you go outside into the backyard and watch or whatever, like, how good is the view of it?
It is, with something as big as this, this is something that you're going to see probably all the way as far, you'll probably see this north as far as the Carolinas or even Virginia. Like, you will be able to see this all the way down to the Keys. When the shuttles went off, the engines were so much bigger than a lot of these Falcon 9s and these heavy guys that are going now with SpaceX. And this is the shuttle booster system. And it's just so powerful and so bright, especially at night. If you get a clear night, you'll be able to watch the orange streak, the orange tail go from north, and you'll be able to watch it curve out over the ocean. You'll be able to watch it go so far until it basically leaves the atmosphere on just an arc heading east. And it's just, it's something incredible.
Hey, didn't the Falcon Heavy with its three boosters just launch recently again for the second time or something? Or wasn't it supposed to? Or I can't remember.
Yeah, there was another Falcon. There was, I got the little Brevard County launch app that they let you know when everything's going, if it's a go, if it's a scrub. And yeah, they just
Tuesday November 1st, there it is. I don't know if it actually went or not, but it's three of Elon Musk's Falcon 9s that are strapped together to do heavy payload. It only launched one time, and he put his dumb car into space, and then it looks like it went up again on November 1st. So anyway, you're listening to this now on a Tuesday morning, or if you're listening on a podcast later from your podcast provider, there's a chance that if it's still Tuesday, you could see NASA make history again as they send the most powerful rocket ever into space. Potentially. Get their act together. Hopefully. I gotta say, I'm a man of little faith when it comes to it now, because they have let me down so many times that, but now that I'm not there, I'm sure they'll get it right. So.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there you go. So so you're gonna, hopefully you get a chance to watch it, man. That'd be really cool. I'm not jealous, but I'm happy for you, but I'm envious that I can't be there to watch it.
No, believe me, man. I know how much effort you put into actually being here, and I wish you were here for this. I mean, you totally deserve it after, you know, spending a week in like six different hotels and four different cars and then eating that burrito with me at the very end.
Oh, man, I'm burrito hungry right now, too. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you then for the question of the week. Tell me, would you rather get full of stimulants and fight a bear, or get hammered and drunkenly ride a brown bear, like a Russian man on the internet?
I would definitely prefer riding a bear. I don't want to fight a bear. I mean, bear would come after me and be angry, but then I'd cuddle him all
but
up.
But I'm on PCP, bitch!
I'm on steroids! Give me that cocaine! Yeah. That movie Cocaine Bear was about me, but I want to ride a bear. I definitely need to ride a bear. I think that's going to be on my bucket list now.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Siege, I gotta ask you about something here this week. This happened near you, and I wanted to talk about how people were diving off of the coast of Florida doing whatever they, I can't remember what it was that they were doing, and they came across what they think is some remnants from the Challenger explosion that happened back the day before my birthday in 1986. I'll never forget being a kindergartner who had to, then they turned off the TV and we got to the how to brush your teeth lesson of the day.
Oh man,
The teacher went up with it came back down the not good way. But so they're making a documentary or something. There's a film crew off the coast and they come across what?
Yeah, it's actually, this is crazy because, I mean, you and I have a lot of shared history and stuff like that. Like, I remember being a kindergartner and, of course, here in Florida, I've sent you videos all the times of rockets going up. This was such a huge thing because it was a teacher going up in the space shuttle. We were all outside in the courtyard of our elementary school watching.
Oh, yeah.
And then we were all hurried back inside. And
Let's go, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember it vividly and I'll never forget it. And there's always been talk about Challenger. We got Challenger and Columbia license plates all over down here from both of the shuttle disasters. And this just happened to be a crew who was there. I think they were filming something for the History Channel. They're trying to do something about the Bermuda Triangle. And they were searching for sunken ships, which had gone missing. And when they were doing scuba diving, they were down at the bottom. I saw the video on Twitter, and it's absolutely crazy. I'm going to have to send it to you so you can post it.
Please.
And the guys were tapping on it and they're looking at it, and immediately anybody who was like a space nerd about the space shuttle,
stop,
that is the space shuttle, and you're looking at it and they're grabbing at the tiles and they're trying to twist the tiles, and you're hearing them talking back and forth, oh, these are tiles, they're loose on top of the other one, they're trying to tap it, and they all of a sudden it gets eerily silent as they're both kind of looking and they're like, this goes way under the sand that way. They're like, do you think this is what I think it is? And they're like, I think we need to contact NASA. And it cuts out. And it was just like, it was such a goosebump inducing situation that I just went flashing back all the way to like 1986 and just that cold morning and just like, wow, is crazy to think that a giant piece, and the piece was so big when you watch the video. There's two divers in full suits with full masks and everything, and like, it's way bigger than both of them. Just way bigger.
Well, that's one of the takeaways from going to Kennedy and seeing the Endeavor.
I think it's there? The Atlantis that's in there.
Atlantis, Atlantis, that's there, and seeing you come out of this theater, and boom, there it is, and like, then you walk along it, and then you get down below it, and you're like, that is a big bird, man. Like,
yeah.
Even though it can only take seven people in like pretty small confines up to space, it's like the rest of it for the payload and everything is massive. massive, and also the gigantic engines and stuff. And so, yeah, even if you find like a small chunk, it can still be huge or whatever. I wonder what they'll do with it. Will they bring it up and like study it? Or I'm sure they will.
Probably. I think they said up until, because they've got all of the known remains of Challenger in basically what was a missile silo that's underground. It's basically buried on site at Kennedy. And I think they had something like 75% of it or 80% of the remains of it. And to see a piece this big, basically looking almost untouched in the sand there. I mean, I know with Columbia, because that went across three states as it was coming back in, across Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, whatever. And they only had like 30% of that, which is just blows my mind. But just seeing a piece this size was incredible to me.
Well, yeah. And the difference being one going up and not getting away and then coming back down, and the other one being trying to slow down from 17 grand down to, you know, cruising speed. There's like, there's a lot more friction going on. And there's a lot more chance for it to, you know, to be distributed over a much larger area. So it's crazy that after all this time, it didn't happen. Now, the time of the show, 10 a.m. on a Tuesday. Let's move on to the future of NASA. I guess the window for sending the Artemis rocket into space is opening later today. It's a full disclosure. We're recording this the evening before, so this is Monday night at 5 o'clock Seattle time. And so we don't know what the weather looks like or what's going to happen, but, you and I both went to go watch Artemis take off three times and none of the times did it go up, and that was pretty crappy or whatever. But you spent a lot of time hoping for this new project to go. They're going to take the Orion capsule up to the moon and back without humans on board, should it successfully take off. It's using space shuttle technology, the rockets from it, and the fuel, which is problematic because it's a lot. Like, instead of using kerosene, they use
hydrogen. Is it hydrogen?
Hydrogen, yes. Yeah, because it's like the molecules are so small that you have to keep it so cold to keep them from moving around and escaping. And like the bleed is like really bad, and that's what kept him from launching these last few times, which sucks because you like want this thing to go up, but also it's politics at play and stuff. But in theory, tonight you should be able to potentially see a rocket streaking away from the Florida coast towards space.
As of the, I guess it was the 7 p.m. news here. So 7 p.m. news here, which would have been 4 o'clock. Pacific time. They said that it's a 90% probability that it will go. There was a lot of questions because of Hurricane Nicole busting through here. And they said that out on the launch pad, it's only supposed to take up to, I guess, 70 knot winds. And there were periods that it was like 85. So they had to go over it with a fine tooth comb because it's built to take the force and the winds going up, going vertically, not necessarily horizontally and everything. So, man, this has just been one thing after another. But the window does open at 10:04 p.m. Pacific time, which is 1 a.m. here. And I'm actually trying to make a quick run up. I'm trying to make a smash and grab run up there to see if I can't catch it. It's only a 2-hour window. And by the time that it would close, it would be 3:04 a.m. here. And that would give me enough time to run back down here and do whatever I need to do for the rest of the day.
AKA work.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you don't give us like the, like, you know, you talked about being a kid and having space shuttles go off and stuff. If you don't go up there, what's the view like from, like, if you go outside into the backyard and watch or whatever, like, how good is the view of it?
It is, with something as big as this, this is something that you're going to see probably all the way as far. You'll probably see this north as far as the Carolinas or even Virginia. Whoa. Like, you will be able to see this all the way down to the Keys. The when the shuttles went off, the engines were so much bigger than a lot of these Falcon 9s and these heavy guys that are going now with SpaceX. and this is the shuttle booster system, and it's just so powerful and so bright, especially at night. If you get a clear night, you'll be able to watch the orange streak, the orange tail, go from north, and you'll be able to watch it curve out over the ocean. You'll be able to watch it go so far until it basically leaves the atmosphere on just an arc heading east. And it's wow. just, it's something incredible.
Hey, didn't the Falcon Heavy with its three boosters just launch recently again for the second time or something? Or wasn't it supposed to? Or I can't remember.
Yeah, there was another Falcon. There was, I got the little Brevard County launch app that they let you know when everything's going, if it's a go, if it's a scrub. And yeah, they just
Tuesday November 1st, there it is. I don't know if it actually went or not, but it's three of Elon Musk's Falcon 9s that are strapped together to do heavy payload. It only launched one time, and he put his dumb car into space, and then it looks like it went up again on November 1st. So anyway, you're listening to this now on a Tuesday morning, or if you're listening on a podcast later from your podcast provider, there's a chance that if it's still Tuesday, you could see NASA make history again as they send the most powerful rocket ever into space. Potentially. Get their act together. Hopefully. I gotta say, I'm a man of little faith when it comes to it now, because they have let me down so many times that, but now that I'm not there, I'm sure they'll get it right. So.
Yeah, of course.
Well, there you go. So so you're gonna, hopefully you get a chance to watch it, man. That'd be really cool. I'm not jealous, but I'm happy for you, but I'm envious that I can't be there to watch it.
No, believe me, man. I know how much effort you put into actually being here, and I wish you were here for this. I mean, you totally deserve it after, spending a week in like six different hotels and four different cars and then eating that burrito with me at the very end.
Oh, man, I'm burrito hungry right now, too. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you then for the question of the week. Tell me, would you rather get full of stimulants and fight a bear, or get hammered and drunkenly ride a brown bear like a Russian man on the internet?
I would definitely prefer riding a bear. I don't want to fight a bear. I mean, bear would come after me and be angry, but then I'd cuddle him all
but
up.
But I'm on PCP, bitch.
I'm on steroids. Give me that cocaine! Yeah. That movie Cocaine Bear was about me, but I want to ride a bear. I definitely need to ride a bear. I think that's going to be on my bucket list now.
It's Machu Picchu, ride a bear.
Machu Picchu, ride a bear, launch into space.
I want to genetically build a bear. So genetically build a bear.
We'll do that at the mall.
Thank you for listening to Nerd Talk Plus every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. We go live on the Odyssey app, and then, of course, available via podcast sometime after that. I'm very inconsistent. I apologize. But Brandon's been gone in Hawaii on some small-ass island. I look forward to finding out about his stories of there being nothing to do and just being forced to relax with his family. Ugh.
Boring.
We'll find out about that. Next week. But all of the biggest thanks and so much, what is it called? Gratitude. I think what the word is. What's that word that means that I'm grateful?
That thing. Oh, yeah.
Gratitude.
I'm faking it.
What's that
it.
Weezer album? So much gratitude here. Big thanks to Siege for filling in. We appreciate you, buddy.
Love you. I mean it. Bye.